we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Amen. But anyway, all right. We're going to get through this message. It's not going to be long, but I do have a video at the beginning of it that I'm going to show. But look at somebody and say, Lord, I'm bored. Yeah. So you'll see where this message is going after this video.
From Instagram accounts with thousands of likes and followers to Facebook posts that go viral overnight. Ever wonder if it's actually legit and what could be behind those crazy spikes? Enter the world of click farms. Undercover operations where actual people are paid to monitor hundreds of phones, clicking on posts, following accounts, liking photos, and watching videos, all to drive up fake traffic.
This is really easy. I mean, this is unskilled labor. You could train a monkey to do this. And then as far as the cost, I mean, you're paying people pennies on the dollar to perform these tasks.
So just how easy is it? We decided to create our own click farm. With the help of cybersecurity expert Jim Stickley and 50 cell phones creating Instagram accounts for each one, ready to click on whatever we wanted.
And that's where I come in. Let's say I wanted to get a bunch of views on this really boring video of me watering plants that I put on this account that I made specifically for this reason. I'm going to put this right here, and we're going to watch this on all these phones, right?
Correct. We've already got it all queued up, all going to be ready to go. And more importantly, right here, we can watch and see how many views we get.
All right, let's get some views.
Then passing 50 views.
And I'm just one guy with one wall. How big of an operation can these get?
Way bigger. The average person working one of these click farms, there'll be one person for 200 phones. And a click farm might have hundreds, if not thousands, of employees clicking at these things all day long.
It's a pre-holiday ritual observed by many people, going on social media to choose a hotel or camping ground, seeing how these places are reviewed, and how many likes they have. The formula is simple. The more likes, the better. Deceptively simple. Because the practice of getting more likes can be shady, we head to India, the world leader in budget IT solutions. In the suburbs of New Delhi, this company says it specializes in digital marketing. We tell them we're French entrepreneurs looking to open a restaurant in Paris. On offer, a host of different methods to boost your number of fans on social media.
I think the main one would be Facebook,
Twitter,
and then Instagram,
and YouTube. Google.
How long would it take to reach 2,000? Like,
do you think it's possible?
Obviously, yeah, it's possible. Yeah, this is something which is possible, and it requires a couple of weeks.
Crammed in the next room are 150 computers and as many employees paid to spend the entire day clicking on their clients' pages, what is referred to as a click farm.
These are leaked images from China. The masses of phones are programmed to deliver clicks. And China has a click farm problem. Click farms are a cottage industry where hundreds, if not thousands, of phones and computers are programmed to view an article, click an ad, or watch a video for the customer. And right now, that industry is booming. According to the South China Morning Post, one-third of all traffic generated is due to click farms or bots. And currently, the customers are everyone. Shop owners wanting higher search page rankings, politicians wanting more followers, singers, artists. When the commodity is clicks, people will pay. This is Crystal.
So, what do we want today?
A Yahoo Finance reporter who can also speak Chinese. I had her translate this video.
So, this is a video about China's click farm. The guy who appears to be the owner of the click farm is telling people that his operations can help them to sell goods to overseas and also add clicks to their videos. He's also saying that this is actually a relatively smaller operation for them. Larger farms like this can house over 17,000 phones at the same time.
Are you planning to achieve any goal, success, or happiness in your life? then it is dopamine which motivates or drives you with an anticipation of reward sooner or later. Success, achievement, or happiness in our lives are rewards. Reward system in our brain is operated by dopamine. Dopamine is like a fuel which drives our motivation. Unfortunately, tech company in social media hijacked this system with an umbrella of connecting people. How overstimulation from social media is ruining our life. When we pick up our phone, we activate our reward system from our brain, which releases dopamine. So that causes increase in dopamine amount and that results in happy feeling. Every time when we put our smartphone away, we start to feel down because we are removing the stimulation from our reward system. So when we feel down, we are forced to pick up the phone again. Increased dopamine release or overstimulation results in decreased dopamine production and downregulation of dopamine receptor in brain neurons. That results in low dopamine level or dopamine deficiency. Dopamine deficiency is associated with lack of motivation or desire, loss of focus and concentration, lack of pleasure from previously enjoyable experience, sadness, sleep disturbance, reduced attention span, forgetfulness, and impulsiveness. Thank you.
When the pleasure and motivation part of the brain was first discovered, it was discovered in rats. Researchers hooked up a lever to the rat's dopamine circuits, and they sent small shockwaves of electricity to that circuit, mimicking the release of dopamine, the neuromodulator, whenever the rat would pull a lever. Now, as you can imagine, soon enough, the rats ignored everything else and spent all their days pulling this lever until they died of starvation and fatigue. They put their short-term pleasure above their long-term well-being. And so the researchers wondered, what would happen if the reward was made a little more complicated? Would they still keep at it? And so the researchers placed two levers on opposite sides of a cage that would produce a dopamine hit if you press them one after the other. And to make it even more interesting, they also put an electrically charged grid in between that would give the rats a painful shock if they walked over it. So now the rats would have to cross the grid and experience a shock every time they wanted more dopamine. And what happened next will surprise you and scare you. The rats ran across the cage anyway, and they kept going until they burned their legs off and couldn't walk anymore.
Have you ever found yourself mindlessly scrolling through your social media feed when you're supposed to be doing something else? It's a common scenario, isn't it? We've all been there at some point, but have you ever wondered why it happens? Could it be that social media is one of the driving forces behind procrastination? Recent studies provide compelling evidence that social media usage is indeed linked to procrastination. Researchers from the University of Pennsylvania, for instance, found that heavy social media users were more likely to procrastinate than their less active counterparts. The research pointed out that the constant stream of updates and notifications from social media platforms can create a state of perpetual distraction, making it harder for individuals to focus on their tasks. In another study conducted by the University of Derby, it was discovered that those who spent more than 3 hours a day on social media were particularly prone to procrastination. The reason? The instant gratification provided by likes, comments, and shares can produce a dopamine rush similar to what gamblers experience, which can lead to an addiction-like cycle of postponing important tasks in favor of spending time on social media. Moreover, researchers from the University of Illinois found a strong correlation between high levels of procrastination and the frequency of checking social media. The study suggested that the habitual checking of social media feeds can become an automatic response to feelings of boredom or frustration, further fueling procrastination.
Well, us parents, we work hard to keep the kids active when they're home on summer vacation, right? But a recent study finds that boredom could actually lead to better creativity. CBSN New York's Jennifer McLogan explains.
Don't fear boredom. Making your children handle boredom may prove to be a family success story this summer and beyond. According to multiple new studies, daydreaming with nothing to do exercises imaginations, sparks creativity. According to the American Psychological Association, boredom improves children's minds and well-being, makes our kids more motivated. You're at the beach. Did you bring a tablet?
No, I only brought my phone to text my mom, if anything.
Yeah. We don't need any of that. We can play in the water. We can use this, a metal detector. Yeah. There's so many things you can do at the beach without electronics.
In our sampling of parents, all said they were trying to allow fewer minutes of screen time so children will learn how to be alone and productive and have fun.
My fear is that now we live in a work warrior culture and we're promoting productivity at the expense of creativity. And we're finding that as IQs are increasing, creativity quotients are actually decreasing.
Experts say stop juggling, helicoptering, lawnmowing. Let your kids be bored for a while. Take some time for yourself. It may be the best thing you can do for them.
So boredom is a really important emotion. When you're bored, you tend to daydream and your mind wanders. And this is a very, very important part of the creative process. And this is something that we can apply to our day-to-day lives because if you find that you're stuck on a problem or you're really worried about something, you can't seem to find a way out, take some time out, just be bored, let your mind wander, and you might just find that that creative solution will pop into your head. So one way that we can really embrace boredom in our lives is to stop swiping and scrolling our boredom away. So what we tend to do is when we've got a bit of downtime is that we get our phones out immediately and our devices out. And we're sort of afraid of boredom. We're afraid to let boredom into our lives. We get a dopamine hit from new and novel experiences. And of course, everything that is stimulating is new and novel. And so the more we have, the more we need. And this kind of lowers a threshold for boredom. So paradoxically, the way to deal with boredom is to allow more of it into your life. Just put your phones away and just let yourself be and let your mind wander. That's really important so that you can get used to it and you can learn to manage it yourself.
One third of all traffic on the internet is fake. You know how much that is? One third. That basically means everyone in here has been fooled before. A company just pays for likes, pays for good reviews. Artist, actor, movie, it's all hijacked. None of it's real, but it's all controlling us. And it's all here to stop us from creating. In order to control a population and make them zombies and robots and basically an army at your will, you take away their ability to create. Yeah, so people's IQs are going up, but creativity is down. Yeah, so that makes them great for the workforce, but bad for the kingdom. Y'all gonna let me preach to y'all today? Yes. Social media, and I hate to out my guy. That's my guy, Steve Jobs. I hate to out him, but I know he wasn't saved. He was a Buddhist and all that. I probably learned more from this man than I learned from any other public figure. Period. Just because he was a walking brain. He didn't know how the insides of the phone work. He didn't have to know. He went and got people that knew. And he just thought, just thinking, just creating, just, man, he was brilliant. He probably ain't in heaven. But he was smart. But I got to out him, though. And I still have that phone. That's the first iPhone. But social media and our smartphones were created to take away our solitude and boredom. So he knew what he was doing when he made it, because when he created it, he refused to give these products to his own children. He refused to give them to his own children because it would keep them too preoccupied and unproductive. The Bible suggests that we find times of solitude in God. We're believers. So, yeah, those are great videos, great information, but I got to spin this to where it fits who we are. We're believers, but we have to find times of solitude in God. You can't talk to God and watch reels. You can't talk to God. See, you can't. Well, you can talk to him, but you ain't going to hear back from him if you are distracted. You can't hear your wife calling you if you on the video game. She have to call you twice. If you on the phone, you can't hear your husband calling you. He had to call you twice. Why? Because you're distracted. So how you gonna give God that weak attention when your mind is really on something else? Yeah. You gotta put your phone down and get some time of solitude to talk to God. Amen. Oh, the hand claps gone thin because some folks think they got it mastered. Oh, I can talk to him and check my feed. He's not happy with that. That's seconds. But the Bible suggests that we find times of solitude. Amen. Psalms 37 and 7 says, be still before the Lord. Now, are you still flicking reels? Be still. When we were young and we got in trouble, one of the worst punishments, almost worse than a whooping, was when we had to sit still. See, young folk, these new folk, they don't know nothing about that. That's hard. You remember that? Sit down. Don't you move. You sit right there. You know that happened every 4 or 5 minutes. Sit still. And I tell the folks in here, you know, we don't have nursery school and children's church and all of that. I don't personally believe in none of that. I believe folk kids ought to be in church with them. That's me. Don't you go and, hey, whatever you do at your church, that's fine. But them church workers need to get the word. And their children need to know how to sit still. And so I tell them all the time, folks say, my son, he just won't act right in church. You need to take him home. Put on one of my videos and make him sit still. If he can sit still, because, you know, kids, whatever they do at home is what they're doing in church. So if he's swinging from the ceiling fan at home, you ain't going to make him sit out in church. He going to try to swing from the cameras. So you take him home, make him sit down, say, okay, start with 10 minutes. Put on the message and let him get used to hearing my voice and sitting there 10 minutes. Then 20, then 30. Some folks in here did that. Their kids have been in here. I mean, Joshua, we was talking about, how many kids y'all got? 7? 6? You know, after 4, it's just... They've always been here, all of them. And you don't hear anything from them during service because they know how to be still. Why? Because the Bible said you got to be still sometimes. Before the Lord, be still. We believe this is God's house. Be still. Amen. That's what's wrong with the church. Too many praise breaks. Yeah, high coat sitting on the butt breaks. Need to be still. But the Bible tells us, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. You hear that? Don't just be still, but wait until he tells you to move. Can't do that with a phone in your hand. Can't do that with a tablet in your hand. Sit still. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. That sounds like social media. Or over the man who carries out evil devices. That's so, all that's going on, and you fretting yourself, you getting all worked up over what other people are doing. And the Bible is telling you, be still before the Lord and wait for him. The enemy knows that if he can continue to fill your ears with voices and your eyes with pleasure, then he can keep you from time with God, and you will miss out on things he has for you. It's hard to keep thinking about what people did to you in the presence of God. That's why you got to be still. In the real presence of God, he should occupy your thought process. You got to be still. Boredom is a comparative state based on the lack of bliss or busyness. When we are bored, it suggests that we have slowed down or are in a rut. We ain't got nothing to do. That's what we think boredom is. Our world has convinced us that boredom is bad. And the Bible teaches quite the opposite. But in God, this is exactly where we need to be. Slow down in a rut. God wants you in a rut. Look at somebody. That goes against everything. No, he wants you in a rut. Psalms 23 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path, which is the word my God, of righteousness for his name's sake. The word used in this passage for path is not like a modern road we see today. My God comes from the word for cart, agala, and it refers to the rut carved into the ground from a heavy wagon or a first person's footprint. So the psalmist is saying that God restores us by placing us in a rut. A rut of righteousness. Stuck in a rut of righteousness, or a rut that rightly aligns us. Can't get out of a rut. When you're in the rut, you got to go with the groove, and it keeps you in line. This keeps us walking right. Proverbs 4:11 says, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths. There's that word of uprightness, in the rut of uprightness. So when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble because you're in the rut. Yeah, y'all ain't liking this. I'm loving it. You stuck. You look at somebody say, get in a rut. Lord, get me out of, I just feel so bored, and our life is passing me by, and I'm in this rut. Talk to God. I don't understand. Somebody come tell me that. I'm like, bro, you being busy, constantly entertained, and always moving around prevents us from being bored and getting in a rut. That's why the devil wants you always moving around. Most people complain about being in a rut without realizing that if it's a place where you can seek God, hear God, and experience God better, then you will benefit from it. The devil is busy. Y'all heard that? The devil is busy, but God is still. Wait, if you wanna experience God, you gotta be still, because God ain't moving. He's not varying. He's not turning. He's not changing. When you're omnipresent, you're already everywhere. So you don't move. You don't have to move if you already everywhere. I move to get somewhere. I'm moving to get over here, and then I move again. But if I'm already over there, I don't have to That's omnipresence. So God don't move. So to get to God, you got to be still. Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still. So how are you going to know that I'm God? What do you have to do? You got to be still. See, the internet, God showed me the internet is the devil's form of omnipresence. Because he wasn't created omnipresent, he had to create a way to be everywhere. He can reach everybody in here at the same time from anywhere now. Social media, that's what it is. And look at the likes and views. So those videos I showed you at the beginning, each one may have had 1,000. To 2,000 likes. Each one of those videos. But let it be gossip about somebody. Let it be somebody's personal business. Let it be who committed adultery. Who got drunk. Who shot somebody. Let it be something like that. It would have been 1,000,000 views. Why? Because the devil's omnipresence is the internet. And it drives bad things into you. If he's the devil, what would he use his omnipresence for? He don't just want to be everywhere at the same time. He wants bad everywhere at the same time. Negative everywhere at the same time. So just when you're thinking good, your feed is going to interrupt it and say, uh-oh, look what happened to so-and-so. To get you to talking, get you to forward it, get you to send it, and y'all can all talk about it. What do you think a web is? Web is never good. Web is a spider. A web is to catch and kill somebody. That's what a web is. You don't even like a web to blow on you. But you just be looking crazy because I know I do. If I'm walking and a spider web get on me, the first thing I'm thinking, Deacon, is about the spider. Where is he? Was he a part of this? Messed me up when I saw Charlotte's web when I was little and all them little spiders. Okay, bye-bye. And they all shot that web. Remember that? They all just shot. I said, that's how they fly? That's what's on that web when it hit me? I saw that when I was a kid. So now I read the book, actually. So now it's like, hey, when one get on me, what's wrong with me? Oh, nothing. And you feel it for a long time. Ain't nothing good about a web. Web is always bad. Yeah, but God said, be still. Be still. Put the phone down and be still. Amen. Turn notifications. I don't even have notifications on my phone. I gotta go look. I got tired of notifications. I took 30 days without them, and I don't want them no more, ever. I don't want to be notified. Hey, I don't. I fell in love with not being notified. It was a great feeling. Boredom births creativity. God began to show me, take me back to when I was writing songs all the time and how that was pretty much all I did. So I would play with my kid, whatever, but then in my time alone, songs would just come to me like words. I couldn't stop them from coming. Hundreds of songs I've written just from times of boredom, being in a rut. No distractions. Yeah. Because my creativity was turned on when I wasn't preoccupied. When a person is bored, they will create, but when they are busy, they will be preoccupied. Yeah. This is another reason the enemy wants to keep us entertained by our devices. God is a creator, and we are created in his image, so we are gifted creators. Amen. That's what we are. We're gifted creators. But when we are preoccupied and distracted, we are not focused creators. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the one who created the lights, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. He's the father of all of them, but he's different from all of them because they all move. They turn, they change. The Bible is saying, no, he's the father of the lights, but in him, there is no variableness. He don't move. He don't change. He's still. Can I keep going? This is good to me. I'm almost done, too. The devil's creative power was taken from him at his fall. So he is no longer able to create. I thought he was writing them songs. No, people write them songs. He just gets the folks to write them. He can only manipulate us and use our creativity. So when he wants a song about butts, he go get Megan Thee Stallion and write the song. He can only manipulate us and our creativity, which makes him very envious of our ability. So his plan is to keep us entertained, keep us busy, so that we will not create for God or create without his influence. See, keep you on the phone, keep you busy, keep you talking about people, keep you doing all the stuff that he does. You're too busy for God. And you'll never really know who God is. You only know him by being still. This get somewhere and sit down a whole new meaning, don't it? Grandmama knew what she was talking about. Boy, get somewhere and sit down. His plan is to keep us entertained so that we will not create for God or create without his influence. The more we watch and listen to, the less time we can spend in God's presence to become creative vessels for his glory like the devil once was. So he's basically turning us into him. Yeah. He was distracted in heaven by the people under him and their opinions and what they thought of him. Yeah. And he's doing it now. You're distracted from God because of what you think people think about you. You're more concerned about a post and you spend more time checking your own feed than you do reading the word. Yeah. And the devil just puts some post on there against you and now they don't like me, they don't do. And the devil, it's a web. He's spinning a web. Then you come to church and look at him and You know that I saw your post look. You ain't gonna sit over there this week. I'm going over here. I ain't gonna talk to them. I ain't gonna like them. They don't like all that because of the web. The more we watch and listen to, the less time we can spend in God's presence to become creative vessels. Instead, he wants to destroy our gifts, abilities, and creations. The Bible tells us the thief cometh not but for the what? That's it. So that's what he's doing. He's destroying you and your creativity so you won't have anything to offer God. And you'll be just like him. I said, God, I said, so you mean you just still and the devil's always moving? He said, I wouldn't tell you to be still if I wasn't still. And then when I asked the devil what he was doing, he was going to and fro. To and fro. Always moving. If the devil ever stood still, he'd probably think about what he's done. So he got to keep moving. If you ever stand still, you'd probably think about what you've been doing. So you got to keep moving. Summary! It's a good message, man. This message blessed me. Amen! Like when God speaks, man, you know when God is speaking. God, we ain't got to bring a trampoline up here for God to speak. Get a shave and a haircut and pour syrup on the bottom. All this foolishness you got to do because you can't preach. Because you can't preach. You got a circus going on. Me and my wife went to a church like that where they just had, it was a circus. Ringling Brothers Baptist. Remember that? Dude in the corner dancing. Dude over there sculpting. Somebody drawing caricatures. Somebody, all while I'm preaching. I'm like, man, I can preach. Stop all that and listen. I have a word from the Lord. And when I say I can preach, I'm not saying it arrogantly. I'm saying I have a word from the Lord. I know that much. If I got a word from the Lord, I don't need to send in the clowns. You're sending the clowns as a distraction. That's what that whole song is about. It's time to be, look at somebody say, it's time to be bored again. There's nothing wrong with boredom. Boredom is exactly where you need to be. Bored. Time where there's nothing, absolutely nothing else to do. Nothing to think about. So you can get in front of the presence of God. It's time to slow down from overworking and being too busy. Amen. Well, Pastor, I just work. I work all these jobs. Well, you know, working can be a curse too when you're working 2-3 jobs and you don't ever see your family. Now, why would God not want you to see your family? So you need to pray for a different situation. Money can't drive every decision you make. Talk to God. Amen. Amen. Talk to him about your... See, that's the those are the personal things. When you know him, when you're in his presence, when you're in his... You can talk to him about those things. Yes. God, I need a better financial situation because I want to spend time with my kids. And I'm not asking for a lot, but can you work out a way where I can be home more? Yeah. And he'll do it. God, should we even keep having kids? Do I have enough money? Ask him that. Don't have 20 and then, oh God, help me. Should have got, get still. Quit moving. Get off the bed. Quit moving. Be moving. But really though, ask God real questions. Real, see, that's when you're around someone long enough, you get comfortable. Right? There's things me and my wife talk about now that I wouldn't have talked about early on. I wouldn't have got her. Some stuff you got to save for the up backside. That's why everything don't need to be on the Instagram. That's why ain't nobody called you. Because all your info is there. They done went through everything. I don't want to deal with that. Some stuff you just need to spring on them after you in love. It's too late now. We in love. We got a kid. Wait till you have a kid. Man, we in love and we got a kid. But seriously though, the more time you spend with somebody, the more comfortable you get with them. So then you can start trusting them with things. The Bible said God searches the deep things. So then you can have deep conversations. God, like, am I just not smart enough to get this promotion? So you ain't gonna say that out loud, but you can tell God that. He'll say, well, I can help you with that. Read this, read that. Matter of fact, go talk to Julian. He'll show you. I used you as an example. I don't mean that. But amen. Julian has helped a whole bunch of folks in that area. Because that was one of the questions he asked me. I hope I ain't tell too much. When he first was riding with me when I first met him. He was trying to figure out, okay, how can I go from this situation to this situation? And he did it. Amen. He did it. And several others. Jeff, and I mean, I could just go down the line. My brothers just wanted to know, like, how do I get out of this? How can I get here? Is it me? Get before God. Ask God. Have the deep conversation with God. The conversation you can't have with nobody else. You have that conversation with God. But you can't do that if you're moving. You got to be still. Even Moses didn't know what to do. Like, y'all, we stuck. We don't know what to do. So what did Moses do? He go up in the mountain. When he's in the mountain, what was he doing? Was he jogging? Was he doing push-ups? Was he doing burpees? What was Moses doing up there? He was sitting still. Waiting. That's why when he would come down and folk would have an issue with him, God would defend him by saying, me and him are friends. In other words, I know this guy because he spends time with me. So all of y'all's opinions are based on outward things you're seeing. But I know this guy because he spends time with me. Time to get in a rut of righteousness and follow the quiet path. It's time to silence the many voices and have what? He leadeth me beside the what? Still waters. Why are the waters still? Because moving waters represents in the Bible voices. That's voices. He leads me by the still waters. It's time to really quiet down, calm down, and hear the still small voice of God. It's time to stop following the gossip, the spectacles, the great feats and tantalizing displays that the internet is bombarding our senses with. These things overstimulate us and cause us to need more to be satisfied. That's what happens with dopamine. Once you get a dopamine hit, and you keep getting a dopamine hit from that thing no longer brings the same dopamine hit. So you have to graduate to something else to match that level of dopamine. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how our bodies work. That's how drug addiction, porn addiction, all those addictions, that's how they all work. Dopamine starts out small. Then it takes more. So we can't keep overstimulating ourselves, always looking for a rush. Makes the things of God seem mundane and regular. eventually we will be desensitized to the point where we no longer sensitive to things that are still and quiet. We don't even like the still and the quiet. We don't like it no more. Because we've been overstimulated. We then lose touch with God and totally disregard quiet times with Him. We may feel we are bored or in a rut when we are not being entertained or preoccupied. But this is a good thing. In order for us to really receive and understand the will of God for our lives, we must be still. Once we are still and are able to hear the still voice of the Lord, then He will perform great feats in the presence of others through us. Amen? Amen. Look at somebody and say, be still. Great story here. 1 Kings 19 and 9. Let me set this up. So Elijah has just acted up. I mean, acted with a boldness we've never seen before. First of all, he said it's not going to rain. Then he brought the rain. And he made him keep checking to see if it rained. I mean, Elijah was something else. He really was. Like, he was something else. One king sent, you know, he told, God gave him a word about the king because the king had fell through his ceiling.
That's right.
And he was injured. And he was sitting up in the room hurting. He was like, y'all go ask Beelzebub. Go get the prophets of Beelzebub and ask them, am I going to live? And God spoke to Elijah and told him to tell his messengers, oh, is there not a king in Israel? I mean, is there not a God in Israel that you can consult? So you going to go ask Beelzebub? He said, so you ain't coming out of your state. You're going to die. Yeah. So this king was like, well, no, I ain't receiving that. So he sent 50 men, a camp of 50, to go and try to talk to Elijah, to try to change Elijah's word and bring him back. Elijah, and they came and they said, our king has sent us to you. He said, if I be a prophet, if I be a man of God, fire come from heaven and burn y'all up. Boosh. Just for no reason. He killed them for absolutely his own pleasure. There's no reason. You didn't have to kill them. So then the king was like, oh no. He sent 50 more. He sent a whole 50 more. They went in there was like, Elijah, man, come on. The king want to talk to you. He said, oh, if I'm a man of God, y'all finna burn up too. Whoosh. Kill him. So the next one came up. Come on, man. You a man of God? We know. We got that part. Come on, man. Come talk to the king. And the Lord spoke to him and said, okay, Elijah, quit killing people and go talk to him. He did. Quit killing them. Just go talk. So he went talk to the king. King was like, okay, so now what? Because he said the exact same message he told the messengers. Because you consulted with Beelzebub, you gonna die. And the Bible says right after that, he died. Man, don't mess with Elijah. Somebody need to make a movie called The Tishbite. That would be one of the coldest movies ever made. Just Elijah. That's all you need. Boy, boy, boy. And so he had done all kinds of things. Then he got all the prophets of Baal together. And y'all know the story. He told them to, you know, if y'all can bring fire from heaven, then y'all gods is real. But if I do it, my God is real. So they tried, they prayed, they did their chants, all that. Couldn't bring fire to the wood. So he said, watch this. Pour water on the wood. Wet it again. Wet it again. Get it soaking wet. He said, even before that, he was making fun of them while they was trying to get the fire. He was high side. Elijah was high side. Like, oh, what? Is God busy? Is he busy? He must be busy. He said, throw water on. Then he called fire to have, boom, fire just burned it up. Then he said, okay, now take all 400 of these prophets and kill them all. Killed all of them. Then he said, okay, it's going to rain. Told Ahab, it's going to rain. So Ahab, the Bible said Ahab jumped in his chariot. And then we know what Flash did. Bob said, Elijah said, oh, you using the chariot? And got there before him. I mean, that's just this man right here. So all of this had happened. But then in the meantime, Jezebel said, but hey, what you just did to those prophets, I'm going to do to you. Now, Elijah looked around and was like, okay, she's done this before and killed prophets. So he's like, okay, now I'm scared. You know, after the Holy Ghost leave, the power leave, the joy, all that leave, he's like, it's just me. probably couldn't get that superhuman speed no more. You have to run like everybody else. Wait a minute. Say, he was scared. He went and lodged. God came and fed him, took care of him, knew he was scared. But God knew this guy. He knew this guy. This was his guy. And so then he comes to this cage, this cave. And that's where this story picks up. He comes to this cave and lodged in it. Now, this is real good right here. It says the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, for Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So God said, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke it into pieces, the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But then it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake came and shook everything. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But then after the fire, a gentle stillness came and a still, small voice. Now listen to this. Many times I read this, I never saw it. When Elijah heard the what? Okay, so this starts out, there came a word of the Lord came to him, not a voice. A word came in the beginning. But then after all that he saw, a voice came. He didn't respond to the word like he responded to the voice. When he heard the still small voice, what did he do? You know why he wrapped his face with his mantle? Because no man can see God and live. He knew then he was about to see him because he heard the voice. See, Moses did the same thing. When God appeared to him, Moses covered his eyes. Because no man can see God and live. This was the moment Elijah saw God. He wasn't what he thought. He didn't bring the fire. He saw all of that, but the Bible said, nope, he wasn't in that. He was in the small voice, the still voice. In other words, this is the relationship I want with you. Those are the things I got to do to prove who I am to the world. But to you, I want you to trust who I am so we can talk, so we can have a relationship, a voice. He got to see him. And the only two people in the Bible that actually really saw him were the ones that Jesus met with on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now think about this. Y'all, him and Moses are the ones that saw God. And then when Jesus was here, the Bible says he went on the mount and just walked into another dimension that was visible in our dimension and met with these same two people. He was comfortable with them because he knew them because they saw him. Yeah. there came a voice and it said, ask the same thing he asked before. What are you doing here, Elijah? Now listen, I love to see the works of God. You know, you see people get freed from demons and healed and all of those things. All that stuff is great. But man, if you don't know his voice, if you can't be still and really, really know him, then you'll begin to follow his works. But when you follow his works, you agree to things because of works. But when the works aren't present, you'll change. But when you really know him, it don't matter what's happening. When you really know him, he knows you. He'll defend you before your enemies when he knows you. Everyone stand to your feet. Time to be bored. Man, do I need to even explain this altar call? Just come. You know. Hey, too much phone, too much scroll, too much reels, too much other people's business, too much time spent on foolishness. Too much. Too much thinking about what others think, thinking about what others are saying, thinking about what others have done, too much. It's too much for me to bear on my own. I need you. Now go on, get in your own key, PJ. I don't know what key that is. Go on and get it. It's too much for me to bear. I need you, Lord. I want to hear the still small voice. But in order to hear that voice, I have to be still. You know, I bought these ridiculously expensive Apple Vision Pros, and you know, say what you want, yeah? Pray for me. But I only use them for one thing. I use them for one thing. I got Bible apps on there, and I can put them on, and they block out the entire world and give me a beautiful mountain scene and float scriptures up for me to pray. And it's a time where I'm away from, I feel like I'm there. I don't know if that's good or bad. We're going to find out. But I love that. I can put those on and literally go somewhere else with the Lord. And I talk to him in there. It's just peaceful. It's just one scene, mountains and whatever, just snow and just waterfall and just tranquil. And I just can just talk to him. Or I can just hear what he's saying. That's not what I thought I was getting it for. That's the only thing I like about it. But you have to, and you know, don't buy those. Amen. Buy some posters and put them around your room or something. I don't figure out another way. They're not worth, the money ain't worth just that. But you gotta figure out a time, a way to just get in his presence without any distractions, without any notifications. It's important for you. It's for you. It's for you. There are questions that need to be answered, and you're not going to hear them unless you are still. The thing about being busy, you know, you say it on your job, man. I don't like sitting around at a job. I like being busy. Why? What does being busy do? It does what? It makes the time go faster, don't it? Well, that's true. When you're busy, you're less cognizant of time, you're paying less attention to time when you're busy. But just think, if that's your life, you're busy, you're avoiding questions, things God has for you. And you'll look up 5 years, 10 years, 15 years have passed, and you still haven't figured out that you're too busy for God. You need the same thing you needed 5 years ago. You need the same thing you needed 10 years ago. Because you don't have time for God. It's time to be bored again. Make time for God. Amen. Everyone bow your heads. And don't think this isn't it's just for you. This is 100% for me. When I took that 30 days, I'm telling you, something happened. Something just happened. But this is an urgency from God for all of us to get a hold of our lives, get a hold of our minds, to get a hold of ourselves and submit ourselves to the still presence of God. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for the truth of this word, the depth of this word. We thank you, Father God, because what you teach us, we know will help us. And we know we'll all benefit from less screen time and more you time. It's very obvious. We'll benefit from less work time and more you time. It's obvious. We'll benefit from less foolish time and more you time. So God, help us give you time. Help us give you back ourselves. God, anoint us to be still. Everyone lift your hands. Still. Help us to be still. There's a song that needs to be written that can't be written because we're not still. There's a building that needs to be designed, can't be designed because we're not still. There's a position on our job that needs to be filled, and it's supposed to be us. But we can't do it because we aren't still. We don't even know it. There's a wife, a husband that is praying for us to meet them. We can't get there because we're not still. There's a financial blessing that you have for us, but we can't hear the method of getting it because we're not still. There's a healing relationship with friends, family, mothers, fathers, reconciliation, restoration, friendship. All of that is right there, but we're too busy. Help us, Lord, to be still. Help us to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Too much, sing it. That's it.
I need you, Jesus, I need you. Too much.
On your way to your seats, just sing that. Hug somebody.
On my own, I need you, Jesus, I need you. For I know you.
You are God.
God. For you there is nothing to I know that your word is true. There's nothing impossible. for you. God is more than able. Hallelujah. God is more than able. Be still and know He's more than able. Lord, I believe. Come on, everybody, sing that. He's more than able. More than able. He can do anything. Oh, yes, I know God is more than able. Wait on God and walk by faith, not by sight.
Not by sight.
For God is more than able.
More than able.
He can do anything. Yes, I know God is
more than able.
Listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.